You are tuned to CICK News on 93.9 FM in Smithers. CICK News is your news source for regional and provincial news Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8 a.m., 2 p.m., and 4 p.m. It's hosted by Dan Messick and myself, Pamela Hassan. Find and follow CICK News online at smithersradio.com and frequencynews.ca or wherever you get your podcasts. CICK News is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Government of Canada.
Today on CICK News, over the past year, questions have been raised throughout the arts community in Smithers about the community access to the Della Herman Theatre. Although the building of the theatre was a joint effort through community fundraising and the school district, there have been challenges over the years as to how much public access there is, especially at certain times of year. The Della Herman Theatre is attached to the Smithers Secondary High School, and it has provided a space for community and school productions, even producing some award-winning talent over the years on that stage. But for a small town like Smithers, what does it mean to the community to have access to the Della Herman, something most towns this size would only dream of? Today we chat with one of the community architects of the Della Herman Theatre, Hans Safeco, about the origins of the theatre and how it has enriched the lives of many Smithereens over the years. Stay with us.
My name is Hans Safeco. Long-term resident of Smithers and very much involved for years in the arts and the theatre as well.
Great, Hans. Thanks so much for being with us here on CICK News. Of course, as we were just discussing, there seems to be an issue going on with the Della Herman Theatre and access, community access to the Della Herman Theatre as of late. But what I wanted to ask you about was maybe you could tell us a brief background of how the Della Herman came to be being attached to Smithers Secondary High School.
Sure, no problem. So in the very early 90s, the Secretary Treasurer Jim Flores wanted to see if we could get a theater in at the school, but there was no funding through the ministry to have the school district build a theater. So he very ingeniously asked if they could have three classrooms that opened up into lecture hall, which was approved, and the only problem was that they couldn't outfit the theater. It was basically an empty box for all intents and purposes. And so he approached the Arts Council and a number of community members, so they were trying to figure out how to make this a combined resource, because Jim was also very much involved in the community arts scene and music and such. So they originally thought, well, what if it was a combined resource? And the ministry said, definitely not. No, this is it's a school board facility. So they couldn't sign a legal agreement that the Arts Council and the community would have access. But after much discussion, everybody realized this would be a great resource for the community. So they essentially, signed a good faith agreement. I mean, I don't even know if they signed a paper, but essentially it was done in good faith. So then the community started raising funds, and the reason the theater has all the equipment that it does, mostly all the lighting and sound equipment, over the years, they've had several fundraisers where, the curtains, most of the equipment in the theater was purchased through the community, through the Arts Council. At one point, when the 2010 Olympics happened, they did a live sites program where they were trying to raise funds. The government recognized that outlying communities weren't going to benefit from the 2010 Olympics, and so we ended up approaching the school district and the Arts Council. They combined resources, and we got a fairly substantial grant to buy more equipment for the theater. So that was on the premise that this was the only local theater and performance space. So essentially, we were able to leverage that, the accepted idea that it was a community space to fund the theater in many ways. So, and I think that's the crux of the thing is that for, you know, over 30 years now, it's been, you know, very much, you know, obviously, school use takes precedence. There's been an agreement in place as far as, you know, booking the space and the use of the space. And I never heard a complaint, never thought that would ever become an issue, because what was so wonderful back then is that at the time, if I'm not mistaken, this was one of the smallest communities to get a theater space attached to a school and then have the community involved in it to this extent. And it was, you know, I remember just being people loved it. People were so excited that the school was part of the community and the community had access. And in the meantime, so many, you know, there's been so many benefits to not only the students from community resources coming through there, but also, you know, what was presented. You know, we used to get, groups in that were so willing to work with students and have workshops with students. And so that, you know, as a combined resource, it's just over the years, it's just been such a great asset to the community. Yeah. And that's where it's somewhat disheartening to see that it's, you know, that the community access.
Hans, you know, one thing I was told was that during, you know, that time where, you know, organizing took place, fundraising happened, that the community sold seats to raise money for the Della Herman. And you can still see the plaques on the back of some of those seats, you know, of community people's names attached to that. Tell me a little bit about that. Was that something you were involved with?
Yes, that was actually right at the beginning in 92, I believe. We did a very profound name. I thought it was a brilliant name. It was called Raise the Curtain Fund. So we sold, I don't even remember, it was not even, $150 or $200, I think, per seat. And the community very much got on board. We didn't sell all the seats, but we did quite a good job. We had one of the funnest ones was Mark Perry and his band at the time, the Loons. They had a concert, and we raised some money through that dance. And so their names are on seats in there. And and when you go through wherever an enterprising student hasn't pried away one of the plaques, there's a couple of missing here and there. But those plaques are all members of the community that have donated money. And and since then, again, many, many fundraising, you know, community efforts to help out the theater. Mm-hmm. The one thing that I did, Concert Association, the reason the theater has a grand piano is because the Concert Association purchased the grand piano. And it's on permanent loan to the, so, you know, the school does risk losing that piano, because the piano is essentially doesn't belong to the theater. It's on loan from the Concert Association, and that's, you know, it's not the most expensive grand piano, but grand pianos aren't cheap.
Yeah, and hard to come by these days. You know, it's safe to say that, you know, this is definitely the community aspect of this is definitely much attached to this theater and providing and supporting, you know, what has been going on there for years.
Yeah.
Now, the other question, and you kind of mentioned, you touched upon this a little bit, you know, it's very rare to see a small town, you know, 5,000, 5,500 people, small town have this type of theater. You know, I've seen, you know, theaters in places like Terrace and Kitimat that, one, have obviously bigger populations, but, you know, industry and whatnot is you know, known to support and help build those things. But this clearly was a big part of the community fundraising event, also the, you know, school district stepping up. But what is the importance of having a theater like this in a small town like Smithers?
Well, I think in many ways, you know, a lot of the people that live in Smithers, you used to hear this term called amenity migrants, where people will move to a place because it's the place where they feel like this is this, you know, you may not have everything you want in a town, but this is such, as everybody knows, I mean, you know, often jokingly, Smithers is called a Nelson of the North, and there's a reason we have, you know, the kind of profile of you know, the cross-section community. We've got people who are you know, avid arts aficionados, and not just arts, you know, it is the full gamut. Like, people are interested in full lives, and the one thing that the theater, you know, years ago we had an educator come through named James Abbott or John Abbott, and he emphasized how important the connection of community, family, and school is to creating a vibrant life, and it's they don't live in isolation, right? So when the school has a strong connection to the community, and we've seen that over the years with the amount of parents that are involved in the drama program, and then the cross-section of the people who also bring arts to the community through the theater, and the involvement of those kids with the community. So I think the reflection, like the Della Herman reflects, is a reflection of that commitment that these things don't live in isolation. The theater and the school is not an isolated part of a community. It's an integral part of, and those, the teachers, the you know, the community members and the students all benefit from a shared resource, and they all benefit from an openness to accepting new ideas and sharing spaces and sharing ideas. And anytime that sort of shut down, I think there's an uncomfortable feeling that somehow that's sort of the beginning of people sort of being more insular. And that's I think at the basis of my unease about you know, losing access to the space. And it just separates people, right?
Hans Safeco, one of the arts aficionados in Smithers, thanks so much for your time today and giving us your insight on this. We'll be sure to stay in touch.
Yeah, no problem, Dan. Yeah, hope we can figure something out with the, you know, like I said, you know, quite often say, you know, we sometimes get very much deep into our own little silos, and the more communication we can have about these sorts of things, it's always better.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or check us out on the web at smithersradio.com. CICK News has been made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to my colleague Pam Hassan and all of our roving journalists, I'm Daniel Messick. Thanks for listening.